Well, let's take our Bible today and turn to the book of Gospel of Luke, if you would, and chapter number 12 this morning. I'd like for us to look in the scriptures at what matters most as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today regarding our lives and eternity. As we think about this, what is life compared to eternity when we think about the goodness of the Lord and the things of God? In this particular chapter, the Lord is speaking with his followers, and he brings to light the eternal matters regarding mankind and eternity. Beginning in verse number 1 of Luke 12, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered, are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and into the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Father, we pray now that you would allow the Spirit of God to quicken our minds and hearts to the things of God. As we see the Lord speaking to those in his day, Lord, this word is truth in our day. And we pray, Father, that we would open our minds and hearts to receive it and to understand the spiritual matters, Lord. What's most important as we consider your word? Have your will and way in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord begins to speak with his disciples, and he warns them to begin with there with the Pharisees, and we know who the Pharisees were, meaning that the position they held. They were teachers of the law, and they were in their own good, they thought, doing things for their own self and setting rules and regulations that others could not follow. And what they were doing were putting a boundary around, if you would, the eternal matters of the Lord, keeping people away from those things and trying to fit them into their mold of their own religion. And he said, beware of the leaven. A little leaven, talking about leaven being yeast, a little yeast or a little leaven will destroy the whole lump. And he goes on to say that nothing covered shall not be revealed. Those things that are hidden. They had hidden sins in their life, and yet they wanted to monopolize, if you would, on the people, the followers, and find the little dust mark or so in a person's eye, rather than looking at the beam sticking out of their own eye, just a little piece of grit, always putting the microscope on others, and yet we find that they themselves were wicked and evil. And he said, these things are going to be revealed. Whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Up in heaven one day the light will shine upon all those things that were spoken in darkness. It will reveal the very truth and facts of who all of mankind is. That should say something to all of us. Don't get hung up on the things that we may have done prior to salvation. Those things have been forgiven and forgotten according to the Word of God and according to God. But for those things that have not been confessed, for those who are living in sin, those things are going to be exposed. And of course, there's going to be judgment for those things, and that judgment will be for eternity. Christians, again, we are not condemned in the Lord. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul states in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, we're not under condemnation. We've been forgiven by the mercy of God, and we ought to live a life that way, thanking God for who He is and what He's done for us. And he goes on to talk about the importance of mankind. He said, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him. He's talking about God. Fear God. In verse 6, he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, he's talking about the importance of life. The importance of life. 5 sparrows, you know, just small birds, sold for about an hour's wage in that day and time. You can put a pen to it in our day and time. What would that mean? Some say it was a lot at one time, but now it's not much. Money doesn't go very far anymore. But you see the principle of it, that 5 birds are sold for little of nothing, but they're important to God. He considers that life. He also considers the hairs of your head being numbered. Isn't it amazing when we think about the knowledge and wisdom of God? This is not just a frivolous statement. God knows everything about every one of us. He knows the number of hairs on our head, whether they're leaving or staying. He knows the day and time of each of our lives. And having said that, how important our life is to the Lord. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. We confess the Lord. We're not ashamed of him. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Savior. We choose to follow him. We don't deny him. We stay with him. He will confess us, the scripture says, before the angels. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You're talking about Judas Iscariot. You're talking about those who will not confess the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. He's going to judge mankind. And he says there that even a word spoken against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. There are those who may use the name of the Lord in vain, say things they should not, do these things. But then he says blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not to be forgiven. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that draws men to God. The Holy Spirit is working in this world today. While we see the chaos that the world is in, the Spirit of God is working today. Not to change the world to become a better place for mankind to live, but to change the hearts of the men in world, mankind in the world. And he's working today. He's calling people to Christ. The question is, are they listening? Are they looking for the things of the world, or are they looking for the things of God? He talks about how that the Jews at some point going on into the matter of being brought into the synagogues and the magistrates and the powers. He's talking about those things that will come to the nation of Israel, those people of his own. He'll put the words in their mouth to speak. And yet he does that for the believer as well in our day and time. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say at the right time if we're a follower of the Lord and we know his word, if we read his word and allow his word to come into our hearts and minds. He will bring that up at the proper time whereby we can use it for the honor and glory of the Lord. He shall teach you the same hour what ye ought to say. Thank God for that. Sometimes we feel like we don't know what to say. And sometimes people say, well, if I'll just say something, don't do that. Let the Lord speak. Let the Lord fill us. Then I want us to go a little further into this chapter. Now we see how important all of humanity is to God, mankind, more so than the sparrows. He knows five sparrows and their beginning and end. He knows certainly more about mankind because Christ died for mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and that's where salvation comes, is belief in Christ. But then we sometimes get things out of order, and this is what I want us to see as he continues speaking to this company, speaking to us in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? See, he's wanting to know about these material goods. Christ didn't come to divide up the material goods upon the people. Christ came to bring eternal life, things that go beyond what we have in this world. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. You see, the man now wanting something that his brother had and wanting the Lord to divide it. And he said that was not what his purpose was. And he said, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Think about that just a moment. The scripture says, What does it profit a man to gain the world or the whole world, and lose his soul? See, there's a matter of temporal and eternal things. The wage for an hour, that's temporary. The five sparrows, God made those. He's more concerned about the eternal than the things that are temporal or the temporary. A man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, Now this word that he's given, this parable, is made of two words in the Greek, para, meaning alongside, and bole means to throw. He's throwing something alongside this story. He's given a truth, but it has a deeper meaning in one regard spiritually. That's what it's saying. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road as we think about what is most important or what matters most. We're talking about eternal things. Knowing life and its brevity, if you would, the length of life. What's the meaning of life versus the meaning of soul? We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. We have life being formed in the image of God. The heart begins to beat and there's life, even in the womb. The baby's heart is beating, and that is a person. That's not a blob, that's a person. That person was created by God and life has begun. And that body and baby will grow. And within that child, I'm talking about life in general, there's a soul. And the soul will live forever. Somewhere. Think about that today. We talk about billions of people on the face of the earth. Each one has a soul. Each person has a soul. Whether they have the mind to understand, whether they, whatever their language is, whatever their culture is, that soul is important to God. And there's no soul more important than another soul. It's not that God loves the Americans, God loves the Indians, God loves the Africans. It's God so loves the world. And within our body is a soul. And the soul is what matters. It's not what the body does. Yes, we're to work. The scripture says, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. In other words, we provide. And that was one of the curses on mankind, that Adam would earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. It's not going to come easy. You're to work. You had to work to provide for the body. And then, of course, Christ did the work to provide for the soul. But in trusting him now, we need to go forward with what he's blessed us with, thanking him for the grace and mercy that he bestowed on us. Think with me today, those of us who are saved, how well it is to see in the Word of God and to understand the difference between time and eternity. Time is a place that's been set by God that none of us know how long we'll be here, and thank God for that. But let's take that time that we know that he's blessed us with and use it wisely. Because once we step out of time, we step into eternity. So don't get hung up on time. And this is what we find in this parable. He speaks of this man who got hung up on time, if you would. He began to talk among himself, and I'll use those personal pronouns there, I, my, kind of stress that. He thought within himself, say, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Whose fruits? To hear him tell it, they were mine. You know, as we look toward the spring of the year, and people will plant gardens. Farmers will plant crops. They can break the soil. They can buy the tractor. They can purchase the fuel. They can put the labor into breaking the ground. But where do the seeds come from? Well, they come from plants. Man's trying to do his own way to do away with that. He's got his own way going now. You know, we're going to make this certain type of seed that will be resistant to all of these chemicals we spray to kill everything else, and we'll feed them to the people, and then we'll wonder why they get sick. I'm being facetious, but this is true, isn't it? The body takes in what we consume. So man says, well, I made this seed. Well, you may have in your way of genetics through what God has provided, but then you plant it, and where does the water come from? Well, we've got irrigation systems now. Oh, okay, so let's give him a little more credit for his irrigation system and his genetic made seed that he's planted. But what about the son? Hadn't thought about that. Well, you may ought to think about it. Because you can put lights on and have light, but it won't grow. It may grow some plants in the house, ladies, but it's not going to grow a seed out of the ground. So when you get down to it, it comes from God. And if anything is produced on that, where does it come from? God. But this man doesn't see that. He's looking at himself. He's done all of these things himself. What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He's got it all figured out, doesn't he? He's going to take everything that he has, the work that he's done, the things that he has produced, and he's going to store them up. For what? Well, I'll raise the price is what I'll do. If I store my goods and everyone else runs out, then I can get more for myself. You know that picture. We see it all the time. We've become a nation of that sort. But the scripture speaks against that. It speaks against these things, and I'm going to read some scripture back in Proverbs. I'll read there in Proverbs chapter 28, in verse number 26. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And then he goes on to say, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. See, this man was not willing to give to the poor. He's storing it up for himself. He's going to take care of his own needs the way that he wants to do that. And some other scriptures I'll read as well. Proverbs 11:26 says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. What do you mean? Well, he's going to build bigger barns. He's going to store it up. He's going to hold it until he gets what he wants for it. And I can see this in this parable. This is what the Lord's saying. He's speaking again of time and eternity. Immaterial versus material. The soul is immaterial, but it spends eternity somewhere. The goods that we take in and the things that we say that we need to sustain our daily activity, all of these are temporal. They're material. And we need to be aware and be careful of that. He's going to build greater, store up, save it, and do it for himself. And then he says in verse number 19, I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's looking forward to this day when he's got it all figured out. But the Lord said he's a fool. Verse 20, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then the question is asked, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? What are you going to do with that? You can't take it with you. We don't need it up there. These things are for our benefit here and also for God's. Now we saw, he said, he that withholdeth corn in Proverbs 11:26, the people shall curse him. But then there's a contrast to these verses I've read already. In the latter part of verse 26, it says, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So you got two different type of people. You got the one that wants to keep it all and make sure he's got it till he can get out of here, and he hasn't even thought about where he's going when he leaves. And then you've got the other one who has come to know what eternity is and eternal life, and he's made a decision. He's not going to deny Christ. He's going to declare Christ. That's what we find in the previous verses. He's not ashamed of the Lord. He's not ashamed to take what God has blessed him with and bless others. That's what he said, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Back again in Proverbs chapter 28, where I read there in verse number 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. See, there's a contrast to this thing, and this is what Jesus is showing. He's trying to see these followers, or show rather these followers to see that what this man is doing, he's throwing a truth alongside a story, something that they can identify with, is not good. Now, we take that and we go further as we think about life. What is life? Solomon prayed for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and we find these words recorded for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 4 says, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." What we're saying is this man in the day of the Lord is just like a generation that has passed on and on. We still see that today. See, the Word of God is truth. It doesn't matter what age we're living in. It's the heart of man that never changes without the Spirit of God. Verse number 14 of Ecclesiastes 1 says, "I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." Would to God that Solomon had taken heed to his own words. You know the story of Solomon. He asked for wisdom. As a child, he was the next king in authority under David. And it was through that kingship that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And God gave this man wisdom. And would to God he had lived by wisdom. You find the Queen of Sheba coming to Jerusalem to hear and see the things of Solomon. I mean, it's worldwide. It's known that the blessings of God are upon this man. The temple of God and the beauty and the gold and all of the things that are there. And when she comes to see these things, you would think that he would have said, "Look what God has provided." But he didn't say that. He took the honor upon himself. See, we must be careful. If we have anything, just like this man back in Luke, where did it come from? Him alone. You say, "But I worked hard for it." Where did you get the strength? It's mine, really. Folks, we're just a passing through. This world is not our home. Somewhere beyond the blue lays our treasures. Now, what we find is that we're to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. Whatever it is God has given to us, we're to use it in a wise manner. You know, we work to eat and we eat to work. That's the way it goes, isn't it? It's not wrong to work to eat and then get something to eat and not have it so you can work again. So God blesses us, and we can bless the food and thank God for it. But then we understand that God didn't just send us here, allow us to be here rather, have us live this life whereby to satisfy ourselves. We have a purpose in life now through Jesus Christ, and that is to tell others about him so that they can come to see this eternal value rather than the temporal things. So we find that there is time versus eternity. In Psalm 103, and I've got my Bible marked, I can read that for us. In Psalm 103, and we pick up there in verse 17, he says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." Remember what Jesus said, "Fear ye him." The one who can take life and the soul. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." There is mercy of the Lord. Thank God for that today. It's the mercy of God and the grace of God that you and I have a personal relationship with His Son. It's not something we deserved. It's not something that we can do. It's all by the grace and mercy of the Lord. And having the understanding to see that everything that we have, just as with this man, everything that we have comes from God. It's His mercy. We don't deserve it, but God, in His mercy, has given to us the things that we have. In His grace, He's given us blessings. In His mercy, He has withholded His judgment. Because we know that we're guilty of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth men to repentance. So we see this. We see how the Lord works in this matter of meeting our need. Another word I'd like to read comes from the psalmist. In Psalm 39, David writing, he said, "Lord, make me to know mine end and measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." You know, when we think about salvation in the Lord, and we think about who we are, David is saying, and this is a word of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days." Help us to see what life's all about. Really, we could sum it up in one word saying that, couldn't we? Lord, help us to see what life is. You know, I look at the world today, and young people in particular, they've got a different outlook on the world, those who don't know the Lord. Those who've been raised in the house of God, they've heard the Word of God preached. They see there's a difference between time and eternity. They see there's a difference between the temporal and the eternal. They see there's a difference in accountability to God and wastefulness on self. And you think about that. That's the goodness of the Lord that would cause us to make each of us, he said, "Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." David goes on to say, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth." That's not much in the face of eternity. But eternity in the Lord, "and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, man in and of himself." But what about when the Lord gets into man? He goes on to say, speaking this, the psalmist says further, not David, but he says in Psalm 49, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them by any means redeemeth his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." Again, it's not what we make. It's not what we do, but it's the mercy of the Lord. Thinking about how God speaks to us through His Word, and He does. Thank the Lord. I mean, a simple picture of a selfish man should touch our hearts to see what's important. He knew more about the checkbook than the Bible. He's got his checkbook out. He's added everything up. He's got it all figured out. And then the Word of God says, "Thou fool." "This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Let's again focus on the things of the Lord. Get our minds focused on the things of God. We look at the world today, we're in a war. We're praying for peace and that the war would come to an end soon. But you see where we are. And you see what's happening. And what matters most is how you and I finish this thing called life. The day and age in which we live. If the Lord continues on and doesn't come back for another 100 years, what are we doing to prepare those coming behind us? I'm glad we've got young people that are listening to the Word of God. Take heed to what's being said. His Word doesn't change. The Apostle Paul said this in writing to Timothy regarding such matters in 1 Timothy. Now I'll read it there. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and he's speaking of the things of the Lord, where it says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. See, that's what counts, is the good works. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. This guy wasn't ready to distribute. He was storing up for his own benefit. That they be ready, he said, to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There's coming a time, folks, when we're going to stand before the Lord. We'll be rewarded for the things that we've done in our body. We'll be rewarded for the things that we have done in service to the Lord. And I'm reminded of the Psalm of Moses, the oldest psalm of all psalms, in one verse of Scripture that he writes that kind of brings this to a conclusion as we think about time, eternity, possessions, eternal values. In Psalm 90 and verse number 10, Moses writes these words, verse number 12 rather, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Think about that. As you stop and take inventory at some point, think about what God has said. Teach us to number our days, Lord. Not looking at the past so much as what we have done, but looking to the future and what we can do. Teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. Folks, sometimes as we get older, we say, you know, the best is, we talk about the good old days. Folks, the best is yet to come. I want you to know that. That's eternity. And we may be and have the opportunity to do more between now and then than we've done in the past. Let's not get hung up on the past and let it pull us down. Let's look forward in the grace and mercy of the Lord and say, Lord, what could you have me do or do through me? There's no greater thing that we can do for the Lord than win souls for Jesus Christ. To snatch that soul that's headed to hell into an eternal state. Can we do it? We can be used of Him. We can't save anybody, you understand that. But we can certainly tell them who will save them. Amen. Let's stand together today as we bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. And let's ask God to help us to digest His Word and our worth to Him. Father, we often feel in our bodies we may not be able to do what we have done in the past, but Lord, there's a lot that can be done, spiritually speaking, in each of us. And Father, there's a lot to be done. And I would pray that you would help us, Father, to look to you. Teach us to number our days, to use our time wisely with what time we have left here on this earth. That we may lay up in store in heaven those things that are eternal. Father, help us to pray for those who are without, those who are lost. Help us to live a life, dear Lord, that would be an example to those who are in darkness. That when we get to heaven, we'll rejoice for the things that have been sent ahead. That we can lay our trophies at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our sins. That he may get all the glory and honor for everything that we do for him. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.